There we go. I just had to turn on recording.
Welcome everybody to GTT Toronto for February. For those of you who don't know or came late or haven't been told by your neighbor, there are plates of grapes and a container of Oreos wandering around the table.
Which way do I go?
You pass them to whoever hasn't had them yet.
You haven't had them yet?
Okay, so while that's going around, I've already passed the change jar around to get everybody's contributions for the snack fund. Thank you. And without further ado, I think we're going to dive right in. Why don't we go around the table and just find out who's here and then see who's on the Zoom call. Are probably familiar with me. My name is Ian White. I'm president of the CCB Toronto Visionaries chapter.
Mary, there's a cord. There's a cord there. Be careful.
So,
right, sort of behind me.
Sorry, we're just got a couple of latecomers just trying to get settled here. What we'll do is go around to my left.
My name is Maria Fitton.
Right, and Jason Fair.
Christine Malik.
Michael.
Thank you.
Karen.
Handel. Bob Biggs. Amir Khan. Rumon.
I'm happy to be here.
Welcome.
Oh, nice.
I'm still remember last month of May. And
today I just
Oh, welcome. Lina knows me very well.
Oh, yes, welcome.
Lina is here?
I don't think she is.
No, she has got some family.
Okay. And Marie is also here.
Yeah.
Hello.
Joe is also here. Did we miss anybody? Awesome. Welcome, everybody. Let's find out who's on the Zoom call.
Who have we got on the call?
Yeah.
Who hasn't muted themselves?
Albert Ruel from an island in the Pacific.
Scott Unner.
Sky Mundell from Victoria, British Columbia, Canada.
Hi there.
Hi.
Irene Lambert from the distinct city of Montreal.
Yay!
Berlin Baldwin from Denton, Texas.
All right, you win for this one, I think.
Devin Brad.
All right.
No.
Devin Brad. Yep. Okay. Anybody else? So I'm curious. I forgot your name from Texas. How do you know about us?
Sorry about that. I muted myself. I guess it was from, what is that thing that comes out on Thursday? The Flying Blind. They must have put some advertisement on at one time about you. And I get your emails every day and I love them.
I didn't actually know that. Okay. Awesome.
Jason, I think there was a piece about the GTT blog that was put into the top tech tidbits on Thursday some time ago.
Okay.
Focused primarily on the Windows from the keyboard tips that Jerry Chevalier puts on there. But it targets everybody over to the GTT blog. So if they register there, they would get the announcement about your meeting as well.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
What's up?
I hear someone from BC. He's from Vancouver.
Yeah. I don't know. They're near Vancouver Island or on Vancouver Island.
Yeah, I want to move Vancouver. Phone number is just you ask. May I call him later or may I take his phone number?
Yeah, we'll figure that out later. Okay. We can figure that out later.
All right. So, why don't we? Is that everybody on the call? Did we get everybody on the call? Mm-hmm. We got it right. Okay, what I'm going to do, guys, if you don't mind, I'm going to mute you guys just so you'll be able to unmute. Oh, wow. Yeah. You'll be able to unmute yourselves. I just want to, just so we don't get background chatter and stuff. So give me 1 second. Sorry, it's going to get loud for a minute. There we go. All right. Gone. All right. So I guess, do we want to go around? Does anybody have anything technology-wise that's sort of on your mind lately? Is there anything, any questions that people have? Yeah.
I have one.
Okay. Well, I think Michael was first, I think. Possibly. I think so.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I have a BlindSquare-related question.
Sure.
So my favorite feature of BlindSquare was the simple-minded feature that you can shake the phone. You're really similar to iPhone or whatever, but it speaks out your address.
Uh-huh.
But ever since I was 13, I got a new phone around that time period. It doesn't really seem to work anymore. It seems to kind of crash the app, actually.
Okay.
I thought maybe it had something to do with the gestures and the customization. I looked in the settings under the gestures, and I tried to turn it off. I don't know if it's like trying to do something else with the shake.
Well, I know that there's a setting in BlindSquare that determines what the shake gesture does. I don't remember exactly where it is, but it is in there.
Is one of the options crash your phone?
No, it clearly isn't. So yeah, so it's under the BlindSquare settings that there's a shake gesture setting, and I'm wondering if maybe that's gotten changed. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. There was some issues when iOS 13 first came out. There was some issues with a few of the GPS apps, BlindSquare being one of them. And that's all been sort of fixed. Like if you got the latest update to BlindSquare and the latest iOS 13, you should be good. If not, I would say send an email to BlindSquare and ask them, because I haven't heard of anything like that. But
do people here use it and it works okay, or am I the only one that uses it in that fashion?
It's already. I'm notorious for BlindSquare not working with my phone.
Me too.
Since iOS 13, it's actually worked better for me. So.
Awesome.
We're not saying it's you, Michael.
No.
I'm not saying it's you, but it's probably
human error.
Okay. I think there was a couple more questions.
There was, yeah.
I've got a BlindSquare question.
Okay.
me too.
Yeah, why don't we start with you? Sorry, I forgot your name.
Ruman.
Sorry?
Ruman.
Okay.
So BlindSquare is one is a paid option, and one is a free option.
Yes.
Trial version.
It's not related to how long. The free version of BlindSquare, now keep in mind, I'm not sure what phone you've got, but it is only on iPhones.
Yeah.
And the free version of BlindSquare is called BlindSquare Event, and it works within areas that are set aside for it. So like around Toronto, okay, the free version works. But if you go outside of Toronto,
or if you go into a 12 o'clock
school. Yeah, it may not.
It does not. It's only inside the front.
Yeah, I don't. There's a radius set up, and I don't know what the radius is set to, but it's.
Can you repeat that in BlindSquare then?
Event.
Event.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and that's
the same.
It's the functionality is very similar. It only works in certain areas. But the full version of BlindSquare, I don't. Is that what isn't it? Okay.
It's gone up since when I took that course back then.
It's how much now?
I'm not sure. I haven't looked the exact price.
And I hear CNIB has an option for free.
Just the BlindSquare event. So if you're at a CNIB office, like if you're here or at the Bayview office, okay, it works. It works for free around those. Around those offices, and within a certain radius. I don't know what the radius. I want to say it's like 20K, but I don't know that for sure.
I'm on the queue for the iPhone on the screen.
Yep.
Maybe they will give me iPhone 6.
I don't know what phones.
iPhone 6. Same phone is iPhone 6.
That's the oldest phone version they will
get. That's the oldest. You might actually get something newer. It's just that the 6 is the oldest one there.
No, six will be fine. I'm just saying you might get a newer one than that. It just depends on
what gets to
what they have available.
So it's $40, right?
No, it's more than that. Like when I was gonna when I was doing the Blindsburg course last spring, it was $55.
Okay.
We'll have to check the Blindsburg site and see what the Canadian price is.
I can't look it up because I own it, and if you already own the app, you can't. It won't show you the price. So.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, if I go into the App Store, because it'll say you already own it, so you can't buy it. So we're not going to show you the price. Yeah.
If I knew what I was doing, I could show because I've only got the.
Okay.
So if I buy one pack. It still work my all iPhone the same ID.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
If I use the two iPhone on the same ID.
Yeah.
It will work same way.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
So I think it was Randall involved in that question as well.
Okay. Was Randall?
Well, yeah. I could ask a question. What is this app of Blind Square?
Yeah. Yeah. So Blind Square is a GPS app. it's a GPS app that's designed for people that are blind or low vision. So it reads out your location and that sort of stuff. And it also works with like around this area on St. Clair. A lot of the businesses have these special, they're called beacons set up. Whereas when you walk past the business, it'll give you information about the business. And there's a free version of Blind Square called Blind Square Event, and then there's the paid one. That's what we were talking about before. Is that there are the two versions?
Thank you.
No problem. Bob, did you have something?
Yeah, on iPhone, I'm using VoiceOver and Bluetooth for my hearing aids.
Yep.
And I wasn't aware that whenever I move around on the iPhone, it's clicking constantly. Whatever I'm touching.
Yes.
Click. Can I shut them off because I got hell in the library?
Yes.
Yeah, it's very, very annoying.
It's very, very annoying. It's very unintuitive to fix it. I mean, it's easy, but it was one of these things you wouldn't think about.
Is it in settings?
It is. So what you do, and I'm going to see if I can get this right. You go under settings, general.
No.
Not general. Settings, settings, accessibility.
Audio. VoiceOver and audio.
Yeah, hold on. Yes.
One at a time.
So settings, accessibility.
Yeah.
VoiceOver.
Uh-huh.
Audio.
Audio.
And then there's I think it's called sound channels or sound.
Sound and haptics.
Yeah, sound and haptics. And then it'll say, there'll be a heading in there for sounds, and there'll be a two choices. It'll say like left hearing aid or right hearing aid.
Uh-huh.
You unselect them, so turn them off, and then turn them back on.
I can help you with it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's dumb, but it works.
You turn it off and then back on.
Correct. Yeah, and then it fixes it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a bit of a long-standing bug. I'm hoping Apple will fix it eventually, but if you do that, it'll fix itself and you won't have to worry about it.
Okay, good. Yeah. I had an argument in the library. I said, no, I'm using this over, not making any noise.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and it's loud too.
Yeah.
It's quite loud.
Okay. Thanks.
Yeah.
For with Maria.
Yeah. I have. Not in quite a while, but I have used it.
What is it for Nearby Explorer? It's for Android version.
Yeah, Nearby Explorer is another GPS app, but it's Android and iPhone.
I bought it.
Yeah, so it's Nearby Explorer is a GPS app. They've got a free version, and then they've got a paid version. Their paid version is quite pricey. It's
$105.
Yeah.
I bought it.
Yeah. Yes.
But I'm not happy for that.
Yeah, it's okay. I honestly don't have a ton of experience with it. I've got it, but I don't have a ton of experience with it. Yeah. Anybody else have any questions?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, Joe.
I have a couple actually, and
go for
one
it.
Of them is a Blind Square. I haven't had much practice with it because it doesn't work where I live. I'm not paying for it.
Sure.
So when I come up here, I've tried to get it to do the beacons and stuff like that, but I can't remember how. So and I've not had any luck with it.
So make sure the Bluetooth is turned on your phone first of all, because the beacons are all Bluetooth beacons. So you have to have Bluetooth on. And then in Blind Square itself, there's a setting, and you go under like tools and then settings, and then there's a Bluetooth option in there. And you have to turn that on as well. It should be on by default, but I've seen a couple of cases where it's not. So
Bluetooth, that would be.
Yeah, it has to be. Yeah, you have to have Bluetooth turned on. Yeah.
I knew it was something stupid as well.
Oh.
And if you don't have automatic updates on for Blind Square, they're constantly updating. So make sure you got the latest version of whatever Blind Square you've got.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the other thing is, I just wondered if there are any Wheel-Trans users here.
Yeah.
Because I've been trying to get my, I'm having trouble with punching in all the passwords and crap. So I wondered if there's a way to do it automatically, because somebody set it up, but it didn't work.
So you can, you're talking about the automated system.
Yeah.
So you can do you can put a phone number in your phone, and if you put commas after, so you put the phone number, then comma, then then your passcode and stuff.
But I'm trying that, but it's not working, and I don't know if I'm missing something.
Hmm. I think it's difficult because they have this big launch spiel beforehand.
Yeah, they do. So
this is happening, and on this event and Kennedy Station is going to be closing. Blah blah blah. Oh, and then you have to keep pressing the star key or something to bypass
all these messages. It doesn't matter what key
but you have to press something to bypass all the messages put in your password, so it doesn't what to put in your member number and then your password.
I mean, so it works. It works well if they don't change their menus. But the problem is if they change their menus, then all of a sudden you have to press something different. What I find on the iPhone is easier is if you use a headset with your phone, and then it's a little easier to key stuff in because.
Yeah, but my hands are not very steady. So.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I don't know the key sequence for the.
Okay, so I was just wondering if anybody here did, but I just don't.
Is there a way to use voice to enter?
Yeah.
No, you can't, unfortunately. Yep.
I just thought
it out.
Yeah.
Their website isn't
bad. It's not as good as the old one, though. But sometimes I forget what my body is, and I want to check it when I'm done.
I mean, the new site looks prettier, but it doesn't
have that.
Yeah.
Experience. Okay, well, thanks,
then. No problem.
Anybody use the Windows version screen reader?
Which screen reader?
Windows 10.
There's
a BT.
Narrator. Yeah. Narrator. Yep.
It's good and for, I mean, it's more than.
I certainly wouldn't say it's better than NVDA. It is getting better. So I would say it's not as good as NVDA, not as good as JAWS, but it's certainly getting there. I'd give it another year or two, and I'd say it'll probably be pretty close. But I mean, right now it is quite good. I just wouldn't say it's as good as.
More accessible everywhere.
Yeah, no, I mean, NVDA is, you're probably, NVDA is still a really good bet for, that's what I use, is NVDA. Yeah. All right, anybody else? Otherwise, go ahead.
Yeah, it's more like a very wide open question. It's like, I've been wondering recently about the accessibility of Chromebook, actually.
Chromebook?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're asking what I think of it?
Has anybody around the table ever tried it? Like, I know it's quite, it seems quite good objectively, but like it's more, you know, it's YouTube and, you know, I mean, like, obviously on Google website, they're not going to say we are doing chat, so like.
Yeah.
Just for those of us who aren't quite up to speed, what is Chromebook and why would one use it?
Sure. So Chromebook is Google's laptops, essentially. There's various. There's various different types of Chromebooks. So there's tablets, there's laptops. They run what's something called Chrome OS, which is Google's own operating system. And the software that you're using on them is like Google Docs and Google Sheets and it's you know, all Google all the time. So I've got one actually. I've got one at work that I've been playing around with, and it's not bad. It's I mean, if I just don't know the Google ecosystem that well, just because I don't use it a ton. But it looks quite good from what I've seen. I haven't, like I said, I haven't spent tons of time with it, but what I've seen, I've liked. It's not going to give you the flexibility of a Windows machine because it's running Google's own stuff. So it's going to be, they're more targeted at like schools, like education. They're really popular because they're sort of a lockdown system and they don't have to worry about people, you know, installing things on them and stuff like that. So that's where you tend to see them is in education.
Jason, they're typically cheaper, right?
Oh, not necessarily. There are cheap Chromebooks, but there are also some
cheaper than MacBook for sure. But like my issue is like I found Apple is limited, and like if you work at a place and stuff, they might have different. You know, I just want to get used to something different than Apple for change.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, they're all over the they're all over. Like there are Chromebooks that you could pay, you know,
hundreds. And I love Google actually. I think it's pretty accessible. Their products and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you can pay $200 for a Chromebook, but you'll probably get what you pay for. Or you can pay, you know, $1,500. So it just depends on what you want it. It's like any. Yeah.
Way.
Yeah.
So is it better than iPad?
No.
It's different. It's different, yeah.
There's nothing better than iPad.
It wouldn't be a bad idea for us to do a session on Chromebooks actually at some point.
Why?
All right.
We can put that on the list. Yeah. Awesome.
Somebody join us.
I just came. It's Ian.
Hey, Ian.
Hello.
How
are
you doing?
Hi.
I blame it on wheelchair.
So I think if that's it for my, I think what we should get on to the main event.
Yep, Chris has been waiting patiently.
So Christine Malik is here. Sorry, give me a minute. Here, that was good. So that's right. So Christine Malik is here to talk to us all about the wonderful wide world of editing and how to make documents look and sound good with JAWS, and it's one of her awesome talents. So I'm not saying that because I live with her. It's not a bad thing though, really. Chris, go for it.
Well, welcome. I hope this topic won't be too boring. I'm going to try and liven it up for you. I realized after I agreed to do this that after tonight, not one person in this room will ever send me written communications ever again. So sorry about that. I have a lot of experience with editing. I've done quite a lot of writing and editing for myself and others. And so I'm not a technologically sophisticated person, but I know some stuff about this because I've spent a lot of time with it. What I'm going to talk about is how to produce as close to perfection as possible in your written communications, and perfection is elusive, trust me. But I'm going to talk about various tools within JAWS, within Outlook, and a couple of other little bonus pro tips that I find helpful. I'm going to start by telling you why you'll never send me written communication again, because I feel really strongly about sending out written communications that are presentable for any audience, for a sighted audience, for sighted readers, for blind readers. It just means producing copy that does not have errors in grammar, in spelling, in formatting. And so it's a tall order, but there's lots of tools to help with that. And I definitely in the last 10 years, I've noticed a significant decline overall in the wider world in terms of sloppy copy. So you read websites and there's glaring mistakes and you go, does someone read that over? Or
In most cases, no.
What, are you blind? You know, like, so if I'm finding the errors, why? So if we make mistakes, I guess we can put it in the cultural context of it doesn't matter. But I don't feel that way. Mm-hmm. I think that we should all strive for high quality. And I think that as blind people, it's easy to get lazy and sloppy. And I think it's maybe even a little more important in to be present ourselves in the wider world as people who can produce clean copy. So there's certain, I have various levels of the process that I go through. So I'm just going to outline them and then we're going to walk through a document. The first one is that I read it with JAWS. I listen for any obvious mistakes. The second is I use spell check. And the third is that I use something called text analyzer, which is a gift from the gods. It's so useful. And so what I'd like to do is I have a document here that was as close to perfection as I could get it. It's a blog post that I wrote on a topic. It's on a topic that I think we'll all appreciate, which is the phenomenon of being out in the community and being obviously having a disability and someone decides that they're going to pray for you. So I wrote a blog post about that. So I thought it was something we could all relate to. So the first step is I've got my JAWS on fairly slow, but it's in the British voice. So hopefully you can understand it. If you can't, don't worry. It's not a test. But what I'm going to do is we're going to listen to the first paragraph. And just on a superficial reading, I've introduced a bunch of errors into this document. So we're going to go through various layers, and we're going to pick the errors and do our best to find them. So I'm just going to have JAWS read the first paragraph, and just in your own mind, just listen attentively and see if there's any obvious mistakes that you find. Give me 1 second. Would this have turned itself off, Jason?
Sorry?
I'm using the tennis ball. I think it actually timed it. Okay.
How easy or difficult would it be to change it to a non-Brit voice so that?
Let's try this. It's not obviously like
6:33 p.m.
Like, can you understand that? Is that okay? Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's on a pretty slow speed. So here's the first paragraph, and just as an exercise, see what errors we can point out.
If you're blind, you're no stranger to the experience of having a religious zealot approach you to tell you that they're going to pray for you and that God will listen to their prayers and give you your sight back. Such encounters used to irritate the hell out of me, but no longer. As someone who starts off with a deep theoretical interest in religion and its expression, I've come to view these experiences as an opportunity for a little informal research and scope for entertainment.
Okay, so that's the paragraph. Did anyone, it's not a test. I just want to know. Punctuation?
Yeah.
So there was no, the settings, I don't have the punctuation announcing itself at the moment.
There's
so,
punctuation.
Is it reading the punctuation?
No.
No,
you can hear it by the pauses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it did sound,
there was a duplicate.
Long.
Yeah, there was a
duplicate word. Yep, there was. Yep. Yes. So
what did Michael say? Sorry.
I thought the word though was twice in a row in the first sentence, but I would.
You're correct.
I would want to go through it.
Yep, you're correct. You're exactly.
It went
right.
Off for something, and I didn't catch what it was.
Sounded like capitalization.
Yeah. So that well spotted. So I have the capitalization set to announce itself. And that's for editing purposes. And so there was a couple of times where I used I, as in I have, like I've or I'm, and I put a lowercase I on purpose. So because the punctuation is set to with the pitch change, I would notice that. And so that's another level of how to just edit your own as you read through. So yep, there's a duplicated the. There's an extra word I put in, an extra at or something like
yeah,
that.
Something strange.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep. And there was a few times where the capital on I was not proper. It was not properly capitalized. So that's the very first step. So those are easy to correct. I'm not going to go through and correct everything as we go because you people, I assume, know how to arrow through and do yeah. editing. So next step I'm going to do is the the Microsoft spell check. Now,
sorry, can I jump in real quick?
Of course.
Yeah. So that capitalization setting the capitalization setting that Chris is talking about is not the default. So the default in JAWS is as you're arrowing through or typing letter by letter, it raises the pitch for capitals. You can go into JAWS in Word or Outlook. You do insert V and just type in the word capital, and you'll find a setting where you can change that. So she's got it set. Is it Word?
I've got it on Word character and line, and also say all is turned on. So every instance of a capital would be announced by a pitch change.
Yeah.
But that's totally configurable.
Yeah, and that's, like I said, that's not the default. So if you're expecting your JAWS to do that off the bat, it won't.
And if you're just reading something for fun, it's annoying as hell. So you wouldn't really want that. But no. If you're trying to produce clean copy, then you would.
NVDA also has settings that will alter the pitch for capitals.
Yes. Yep.
So you can pick that up in NVDA as well.
Yep.
Did you say insert V as in Bob?
V as in Victor.
For verbosity. So there's a whole bunch of commands under insert or caps lock V for verbosity, and you can control things like how much punctuation is read, all sorts of things. If you can take a deep dive into there and do all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
Now the spell checker on Word, I stopped using it for a few years because they were tinkering with it and it was driving me nuts. And what I was doing was copying all of my stuff onto the clipboard, plunking it into an email, and spell checking it there, because the Microsoft Outlook spell check is still the old school one, which is quite simple. And I don't know why that's the case. But anyway, a couple of weeks ago, I went into Word and looked at the spell check, and it doesn't suck anymore. It's configured differently now, but it's actually manageable. So I'm gonna maneuver through that. So I'm gonna hit F7.
F7, editor overview, review all results, zero. Review all results.
Review all results.
Review all results. Space. Grammar change. Form of the normal pronoun is. Suggestions is 1 of 1. IES period. Space 1. Space OF. Space 1. Period. Original sentence. Read only editor. Someone who starts off with a deep theoretical.
Okay, so what's going on here? We don't.
There's no apostrophe where there should be.
Exactly. And so this is a good reason to have your grammar check on. Because if you just read through, see, that's when I went and made a mistake on purpose, because when we read through it, unless you have your punctuation on full, which I did not, you're not going to catch it. If your spell check is set not to check grammar, I believe that also will not catch it. So grammar checker is a little annoying, but it's good because it will catch things like the apostrophe. So a hotkey to change that, if you like what it's telling you. I'm just going to tab through the screen so you can see. I'm going to speed up.
Faster.
Speed that up. Okay.
Read original sentence.
So if you get to the, you can do this, hit the space bar.
Space.
As someone who starts off with a deep theoretical interest in religion and its expression, I've come to view these experiences as an opportunity for a little informal research.
That's the narrator
voice. And scope for entertainment.
It is better. So it gives you the option to have narrator read the original sentence so that you can see the context of your mistake. Then
suggestions. It's 1 of 1. Split button.
Chris, is that in Word?
Yes.
Adjusted, but that is not in Outlook.
The Outlook is configured differently. Okay. I can go through it, but the Outlook one is just the layout is different. It's okay, the older one. So you can go through. This gives you a list of suggestions that
other
I'm still
actions.
Tabbing through.
Once.
So these are your choices. You can ignore once.
Don't check for this issue.
Don't check for this issue.
Settings.
Change your settings. Go back to the overview.
Remaining all issues. Previous issue.
Previous issue.
Next, it's grammar. Change form of the normal pronoun.
Okay. So I'm going to say Alt-C is the hotkey to change.
Alt-C. Spelling not in dictionary. IVE suggestions. I apostrophe VE. Spelling not in.
So it's caught the capitalization error. So some of the things it's going to catch, like it's getting better all the time. And so it's catching things like that cap. So I'm going to use Alt-C.
Alt-C.
Change
spelling
that.
Spelling not in dictionary scope. S-C-O-P. No spelling suggestions.
So I
spelling
deliberately
not in dictionary
misspelled
scope,
that.
S-C-O-P. Suggestions. Scope. S-C-O-P-E. Read only.
So I deliberately misspelled that word. Mm-hmm. So we're going to hit Alt-C to correct
Alt-C.
That.
Alt-C. Grammar resolve. Disagreement within noun phrase. Not suggestions. Not of. 1 of 1. L-O-T space O-F.
So this is where it gets a little fascistic. Like, it'll impose some grammar rules that are strict, and it'll interfere with your style. So if you don't like it, you just ignore it, which is what I saw. But I actually learn some things sometimes. Like, I think I've written it correctly, and I may even leave it that way because I like it the way it sounds. But it has actually, now and then, I learned something a little from the grammar check. So for me, at first, when they said grammar check, I'm like, screw you. I don't have that good grammar. I don't need you. But I do actually learn things. So I'm just going to ignore that one
spelling
for now.
Spelling, but dictionary, loses. B-R-E-W-S-E-S. No spelling suggestions. Spelling, but dictionary, loses. B-R-E-W-S-E-S. Suggestions, loses. B-R-U-I-S-E-S. Spelling,
so again, I deliberately misspelled it. So yeah, it caught it. So I'm going to
change that. Commonly confused words. Which suggestions? Which one? W-H-I-C-H, period, space, one, space, O-F, space, one, period.
So I deliberately misspelled that too, and it caught it. Again, see, it's getting better all the time. I'm quite impressed with the spell check, because it's supposed to be witch, W-H-I-C-H, but I put the witch like the cackling old lady. So it actually caught it, which is quite impressive.
No, it didn't. There actually is a bug there. It's spelling one of one, which it actually shouldn't be doing.
Yeah, I wish it didn't do that.
Yeah, there's... It's still being there. It used to be pretty much unusable, and it's now
mostly usable.
Now it's now mostly usable. With
press F7
for spell check.
Spell and grammar check.
Well, grammar check is a setting within spell check. So hitting F7, it depends what your settings are. If grammar checker is turned on, then all of this will happen. If it's not, then you may have to go. You'll only see spelling errors.
Christina, when the spell check initially fires up, does it just announce the misspelled word only, or does it give you the line?
It does give you the line, but it's spelling out so much stuff that it's kind of tiresome, and so I would go to the read sentence button that reads it in narrator. Because that way, instead of listening to a bunch of stuff spelled out, just tab until you get to read sentence.
Yeah, the trick that I typically just use to control the arrow keys, so it like reads by word.
Oh, does that work in there? See, I didn't even dig that deep to see.
I sort of do it unconsciously now, so
yeah.
Well, and the thing about this too, like now that updates run just whenever they feel like, this could change tomorrow. And so that's, for me, the frustrating part is you get used to it, to an interface, and then tomorrow you turn your computer on and it looks different because they
and
just
then can
keep...
you go somewhere and find out what they changed, Chris, right away?
Not so much. I mean, they do publish, like, you know, what's new, but they aren't, and we've actually, I go out to Microsoft once a year out to the States, and one of the things we have sort of harped on them about is we want some accessibility change documentation, when you make changes. So which they haven't really done yet. There is some really good documentation. If you just do a search for Microsoft Word accessibility, just to do a Google search for it, Microsoft has some really good documentation about how to navigate in Word and Outlook and all this stuff. They've really done some pretty amazing stuff. With their documentation and training now.
It's actually readable.
It is.
One important point is to ensure that you're working from the proper dictionary. So in spell check, in Outlook, and in Word, there are multiple dictionaries. And the most obvious examples are US English versus British English versus Canadian English. And so that setting can get changed in strange ways. So sometimes if someone has sent me an email, for example, and theirs is set to US dictionary, I go to reply to it and the spell check goes to US dictionary. And so it's useful to make sure, is there a way, I think you can make the default that you'll always check from the Canadian dictionary, but it's something to be aware of because we all know there's differences, and I feel that as Canadians we should spell in the Canadian way. So I try to keep my dictionaries on the Canadian dictionary. Jason, do you want to say a word about how
to
check that?
Yeah. So in Word, you can go to you do Alt F to bring down the file menu or the office menu, and then you hit T for options, or just arrow to find options.
And then there's a, if you arrow down through the list of categories, there's a category called proofing. And in that category, you'll find the language settings. In Outlook, it's under, again, Alt F, T for options, and then you arrow down to language.
T for options.
Yeah, it's spoken, I think O and P are already taken, so they took T, put T. Or just arrow until you find it. No, that hasn't been around in years. So in Outlook, it's Alt F, T, and then arrow down to language, and it's in there for the default language.
So it's just something to keep in mind, because it's the kind of setting where I've had it just flip.
Green, flip someone.
Mysteriously, I don't know why. What just happened there is I was in the spell check window and it kind of timed out, which I didn't know what happened. So I just learned something new.
The shape of the then it's usable question.
Yeah, now I'm back in my document. So spell check does time out. So there you go. So that's sort of a basic overview of what spell check will give you. I'm going to say a word about this in Outlook as well. I'm going to go through other things first, and if we have time and anyone wants to, we can look at the spell check interface on Outlook. But one thing that I really want to stress is, unless you spent your life doing this kind of work, like some people at the table, like Maria, who doesn't need to do this because they're perfect at spelling. I have my email settings so that a message does not get sent until it goes through spell check. Wow. When I hit all tests.
Oh yeah, because it's going to give you spell check for the whole thing. Yeah.
That's good. No, you can mail me.
I would highly suggest if you're at work that you turn that on. If your company doesn't do that automatically.
I highly suggest every single person in this room turns it on, because it just catches. I'm not pointing fingers at anyone. I need it most of all. Like. I still make errors. If you wouldn't believe the errors I make. My spelling is terrible. This is why I know all of this stuff, because I've had to figure out ways
I was sending out an email earlier today, and I misspelled the word February. Put an extra R in the middle.
Yeah.
Between the A and the U, and it sounded like February.
Uh-huh. Oh
yeah. Yeah. So spell check caught it.
Yeah, you see.
And I was able to correct it before it went out.
And so it's under, in Outlook, it's under general, sorry, it's under options again, and then mail. And then if you tab through, there's a whole pile of choices in there. But there's one that says automatically run spell check before sending.
You'll be so glad you did it, because the first like three errors, you go, oh my God, that would have just gone right by me and I would have looked like a dope.
When I used to do a lot more training, I had a really evil document that I made, and what it was, it was an article kind of like what Chris has here, but it was full of spelling mistakes, and I did it on purpose so that JAWS would say it correctly.
Yes. Oh my goodness.
But it worked though. It was a really good.
Well, that's what this is like. I misspelled words on purpose and no one caught them.
Yeah.
Spell check did.
Yeah, exactly. So that's why I did it.
No, JAWS, as of something recent, has its own autocorrect feature as well, which some of you have probably noticed. I love it. I think it works beautifully. If you just reverse a couple of letters in an obvious way, it makes a little beepy noise or a little error noise, and it says correction, and it spells out what it did. And if you just keep going, it leaves it corrected. You can go back and retype it if you wanted it that way for some reason. But it's a feature I really like. I wasn't sure if I'd like it, because I don't like the way NVDA does it, but the way JAWS has implemented it, I really quite like it. And it catches a lot. Sorry?
2018 only?
Jason, when
it's
did
at
it
least,
start?
It's at least 2018. They've refined it in the last couple of versions. So
is it on by default?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, so that's funny. I don't think... 18 has it.
I don't think it does.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's 19.
And it does partially depend on your Office version too. If you have a really old version of Office of like Office 2016, you may not see it because it's based on some stuff that Microsoft added as well.
That's a brilliant thing, because I type fast and I can always stop to edit.
I know.
Some pretty stupid.
No. I've been using my computer with the updates for 10 minutes, and I can't tell you the difference I found in just that feature.
teacher. Ooh. I was just like, what the heck? And I was like, oh my God, it's correcting this stuff. This is amazing.
Isn't it beautiful?
Okay. I was very excited by it.
Me too. It's That's a thing of beauty.
just do reread your work before you send it, because autocorrect is great most of the time.
Yeah. Yes, well, that's why step
every,
one.
Every once in a while.
Yeah.
Especially go horribly wrong.
Yeah. Well, I'm getting there.
They've actually toned down some of the little, what do you call those things? The little sounds that it makes when it makes those autocorrects too.
Yeah.
Before it used to sound like train wrecks. I couldn't.
Well, I like how when you get it right, it goes like it makes this little happy ding noise when you got it right. I enjoy that, and it actually I don't actually know if this is a word feature or a JAWS feature, but if you miss an initial cap on a sentence,
it's a word
or a line. That's a word thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Which sometimes I don't want, but it'll automatically if you go to a new line and start typing without using the first letter as a capital, it'll plunk a capital in there. So watch for that. You may not. You may not have wanted.
And if you don't want word thinking for you, I totally agree that often you do, but there is, you can go into autocorrect settings in Word and turn a bunch of this stuff off.
Shape of-
yeah.
I've done
that.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to move on to Text Analyzer, which is genius level. Amazing. What it is, it's a JAWS feature and it catches formatting things that blindies are just going to miss. So I'm gonna activate it so that you can get a sense of what.
It's not.
Okay, so the keystroke is Alt Windows I. And so what's gonna happen is I've engaged Text Analyzer and it's going to go through the document and tell me things that I need to know. So for example, here's some of the things you might hear, because I forget what I did. If there's a space run, if there's too many spaces between words, if I made an extra space, if there's any kind of font change, and it doesn't mean it's wrong, it's just letting you know that the font has changed. You may not want that. It also looks for a failure to close a quotation mark, or an apostrophe in the wrong place. Now the quotation mark, I check every single instance because it does sometimes get it wrong. But I introduced some errors into this. So I'm gonna hit Alt Windows I and see what we get.
Unclosed quote at 583.
Okay, unclosed quote. So it plunks me exactly at the spot where it thinks I've made an error.
Space,
so I'm hitting the back comma, arrow, comma.
Space, quote.
Okay, so that's like, probably the beginning of the quote. So let's see if I did make a mistake.
Quote. You know, comma, I have got a lot bit from that my comma, but not off. Don't repeat, see to care about those ones. Period. Space.
So it looks like I did miss a quote.
Period.
Should have been after the ones.
Right after the.
S, period. Space.
There should be a quote right there, and there isn't. So I'm going to put in a quote. Now I'm going to go back quote to the top, and I'm going to hit Alt Windows I again.
Font changes, and it's on my.
Font change, italic on. So there's no reason for the italics to be on in my document because I never, you know, I did it on purpose to make a mistake. But there's nothing in this document that wants to be italicized. So if I found that, I go, oh shit, there's parts of my document that are italicized. I don't want that. And so what it's telling me is that it's starting on the word my, there's some italics on. I'm just going to keep skimming through because this is what I'm really trying to show you is what kinds of things you have access to by Text Analyzer. So it's I'm going to hit Alt Windows I again.
Font changes, italic off, comma.
Okay, so it's telling me italics off. So then I can arrow backwards.
Comma, much, in, implement, to, seen, didn't, will, as, import, as, be, may, these, good, that, and, comma, help.
So all I need to do is go back, keep arrowing back to the word my. And then I'll know that that's italicized. I select that text and then I hit Control I to turn italics off. So I'm not going to go through all these things because those are, you know, editing commands that you're not going to memorize, but I'm just trying to show you what it's possible to distinguish.
Font change,
so italic,
font change, underline, blank.
Okay, so underline has got turned on. Same thing.
Font change, underline,
underline off. So that's not something I wanted. So if I wanted to go fix that, I could do that.
Space run at 2562.
Space run. Okay, so.
A.
So space. I've got A.
Space.
So that's two spaces in a row. I didn't want that.
Space.
So I've gotten rid of one.
Space run at 2679.
Another space run.
E. Space, space.
Space, space. So I'm deleting one. That's
no
gone.
More inconsistencies.
No more inconsistencies.
Yeah, Chris.
Yes.
The space run thing, does that work for the end of a sentence as well?
I'm totally in the camp of a single space at the end of a sentence, so I don't actually know that.
Yeah, I think
I was taught you're supposed to have two hours.
I think that's, and actually,
I know.
Yeah, we're going to have a big fight now because
I know,
it's
right?
Actually,
okay. Are you serious, Christine?
It's a thing.
That's done.
No, I believe it. 8% used to be two words.
Yeah, I'm asking the question because I sometimes when I'm trying to edit something, I will inadvertently have anywhere between one and four spaces between sentences and not really know it until I go through character by character. Mm-hmm. So
it'll definitely catch more than two. I don't, I mean, I'm not going to take the time now to walk through, so I don't know, but were you going to say something?
I was just going to say that the spell check actually catches that as well.
Oh.
So the latest version of the spell check, if you have extra spaces between words or something, it'll catch it.
This one didn't.
It didn't, though,
Amr. Because I ran through. Oh, no, actually, I shouldn't say that because I didn't let it run all the way through. Maybe it would. Maybe it does. Sorry. Never mind.
That's not an ask because that's a particular bane of mine.
Yeah. No, the single space, the spaces after a period, if you Google it, it's changed. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's changed.
At least 25 years.
In a legal document. I used to be a legal secretary.
Yeah.
In a legal document, you don't use anything. Except you do have sentences, and you do have a period at the end of the sentence, and you have to have two spaces to show it's the end of the sentence.
Oh, okay.
And but you don't have any commas or any other punctuation.
I bet that.
Oh.
So I'm up the two space. Two spaces.
650.
Oh, the typing drills is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In
yeah.
fact,
I can still hear it.
Well, a lot of
school, though, I guess.
So, of some sighties I've spoken to, though, feel firmly that they want the two spaces because it helps their eyes to just move
really?
Better.
Yeah.
So it's not a concluded. Well, depends on talk. It's not even clear whether it's a concluded debate. That's how contentious
it
is.
Just
keep doing it.
It's just old school.
Unless you're publishing, don't worry about it.
Well,
yeah.
I think I used the one.
You can, I did. You just make up your mind to it.
So text analyzer will work in Outlook. It works in Word. Different places. It's like the best feature in JAWS that nobody knows about. And unfortunately, I really hate to say it, NVDA folks, and I am one of them. You don't have that. It's a JAWS thing. Yeah.
So there's another feature that's very simple, but I'm gonna use it because I think it's really useful. So in this document, I outline a conversation that I had with a religious zealot, and I'm only focusing on this because zealot. Sorry, a religious zealot.
They're delicious.
Yummy, yum, yum.
But maybe as important as where did he seem to impress him much.
Okay.
Too much if he comes to me. Let I personally, but see the deep that I upgrade every day of my deep tacitly assert that your prayers are more effective. See in truth of the strangers.
Sorry, I'm
Keep dignity and still me.
It is a really good article.
Oh, thanks. Okay, so I'm writing out dialogue here of what our conversation went like, and what I have said is me, and then what I said, and then
divine insider.
So that's how I've described. That's how I identify in the dialogue who's speaking. But if I decide that I don't like divine insider, I think that's too wordy. What I'm going to do is Control H.
Find what edit. Find what edit combo. Divine.
Divine insider.
Inside. Replace with edit combo. Edit. Find what edit. E. Space.
Divine insider.
Replace with edit
replace
combo.
With D.
D. If
I.
I. If.
Tab
more.
Over.
Replace.
Replace all.
Space. Microsoft Word. All done. We made five replacements. Okay.
So now.
Find what edit.
Oh, sorry. I have some sound effects in my computer that indicate processes. So that's what the chirping bird was for. So now, by a few keystrokes, instead of having to go through the whole, and you can see if you're working with an even larger document, you can see how valuable that would be. What else do I want to say? Yeah, it's very useful. I just I like to
find and replace. Escape.
Get
escape. D I O. Yeah, this one time.
Okay.
They were all
there. We are. I didn't insert any font changes into this document on purpose, but what I want to talk about font, because your font can get changed in mysterious ways, and I don't know how that happens. So I'm on the first character of my piece here. If I'm on laptop mode, so it would normally be insert, I guess insert F, but I'm using caps lock F. So if I hit caps lock F, what happens is I get an announcement of what font the character is in that the cursor is focused on. So here we go.
11 points, default on default, calibri, normal style, line spacing, 1 line, paragraph formatting, aligned left, outline level, body text.
So that's a ton of information. The most common thing that I change my font is the size. So mine's right now is an 11, which is kind of small. So if I wanted to change, say I want to change the whole document, what I would select the whole document, and then the keystroke instead of going through all the menus and the ribbons and the la la la, the keystroke to get to your font changes is, it's Control Shift F, right?
Yes.
You see what a team effort we have. Control Shift F.
Edit combo. Body.
And now you're in all of your font options. So font is body, which I'm not going to talk about that because I don't know what it means. But I'm going to move over to style.
Size.
11.
12.
I'm going to go to 12. Hit arrow down to 12. Hit enter.
Edit.
Now I'm going to go down to the very bottom of the document.
Space, area, W.
And then I'm going to hit caps lock F again.
12 points.
Sorry, caps lock.
F is in.
F, okay.
So now it's saying 12 point. So that's a way to, text analyzer will catch font changes if somehow partway through your document, your font changes to subscript or superscript or some, and I've had all of these things happen. Text analyzer will tell you. That's one of the things it will identify. And so, in that case, you just need to select the text that has been changed, use that keystroke, Control Shift F, and change the font to what you want it to be.
What's the most commonly used, like you say yours is 11, what is the most commonly used font?
I think it's 12.
Yeah, the default at CNIB is Verdana, which is the font name, and then 12 point. That's sort of our organization default. I think that's pretty common. Verdana or Arial. Yeah, not Times New Roman so much anymore. You don't hear of it.
Chris, what would be your reason? Because I mean, I don't even know how that would look. You would fit more in a line, I guess, a couple more characters on it. What would be your reason for wanting to change it?
For CITES, it's easier to read when it's bigger.
Yeah. No, 11 is smaller, no?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
So I would change it to 12.
Oh, right. It was 11. You said you...
Well, my default is 11, and I'm not really sure why.
Maria, I think that standard typing used to be a 10. The Underwood typewriters, or the electric typewriters, they used to
margin
be
of 60.
Yeah, I think they were at font 10.
Whoa.
That's tiny.
That's small.
Thank you.
If that helps you put it into context.
It does. Probably put it into perspective.
One little thing I'm going to show that's kind of fun, which is very easy. Making headings is very easy. So I'm selecting, I'm selecting the top line of my text using shift down arrow.
Selected. If you're nine, comma, you're no stranger to the experience of having a religious zealot approach you.
Okay. So all you got to do is, I haven't done this, Control Alt 1.
Yes.
Yep.
Alt Control 1.
Okay, now this isn't going to sound like it normally does because I have all these weird audio settings in my system. So normally what you would hear is heading level 1 and then it would read it. But mine, I've got it so that it uses tones. And so I'm arrowing down to the second line.
God will listen to their prayers and give them your sight back.
One.
Control Alt 1
is heading level 1. So when I go back up to my line,
religious zealots approach you to tell you, if you'll mind, if you'll mind,
it didn't work. Okay, well, we're going to do that again.
Selected, if you'll mind, or control one. God will this religious zealots approach you, if you'll mind, if you'll mind.
Okay, I don't know why it's not working.
Do a insert out, a caps lock F there, see if it did it.
16 points, the open of the board.
Oh, I turned sounds off. That's probably why. Okay, never mind. But so, okay, I can't do an excellent graphic demonstration like I was going to, but the keystrokes are Control-Alt-1 makes heading level 1, Control-Alt-2 makes heading level 2, and Control-Alt-3, unsurprisingly, makes heading level 3. I know. I don't think there is a 4.
There is, actually.
Oh, is there?
Oh, there's a 4, there's a 4, 5, and 6.
Oh, wow.
If you really want.
How do you know which one?
Yeah, it'll say, once you go back to the line, it'll say heading level 1 or 2.
The rule typically is the heading level 1s are like your major sections in a document. So, like, if it was a...
Like a title.
Yeah, like a title. Heading level 2. Heading level 2 might be a subsection.
You see them on web pages all the time, right?
Yeah, I know, but I've never understood what the different levels were.
They're different font sizes. So it said their heading level 1 is font 16. So mine's at 10, like the or sorry, 12. My basic text is at 12, but once you put it as a heading,
yeah,
the font goes up to 16 and it changes color.
Yeah.
So it's a visual way to separate, and it's also useful in documents for blind people because you can use H to shift around.
So one assumes that these headings have settings to control the font size and the color.
There is. You can go in if you want to do a deep dive. You can go into the style settings in Word, and you can actually change, like, you know, if you want your heading ones to be 24 point, you can go in there.
But it's set for 16.
Yeah, by default for 16.
Yeah. Okay.
And those style settings you can make for individual documents or global as well, right?
Yeah.
So if you're working on some great document, maybe the 24 heading for every heading one of them.
Yeah.
So Joe, just a quick summary. If you were looking at headings, if you think about how you read a magazine, you know how there's like each magazine part like has a different section, and then within the section there might be sub headings or sub little articles. That's what the headings do.
Okay.
It's just an organizational, kind of like level 1, 2, and 3 on the
stream. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
If you look at the stream.
I don't use.
So you have book 1, and then you have chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Oh,
and
then
you have book 2. So book 1 would be your heading 1, and all those chapters would be your heading 2.
And then you might have part in your chapter.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yep. Some chapters have little dividers, like.
Just a quick question from me, Chris, on the font, like the caps, I think it was right, it's playing the font and stuff like that.
Yep.
So I know nobody has experienced this, but you know, every now and then you get this email from your boss maybe at some point, and it says all changes are in red or something like that, right? Does that work for that?
So there are some settings. There are some settings way deep down in the weeds in JAWS that you can go into and change so that it will actually identify color changes when they happen. I think it's under Speech and Sounds Manager. It might be under Insert V. I don't remember off the top of my head, but it's there.
But that caps up is not going
to. It will actually tell you, but you'd have to do it
every line.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, it's every character actually, because it's on a character level.
Oh, really?
Okay. So what you'd want to do is turn on a mode that will actually tell you when. So it's under Speech and Sounds Manager, which is another feature.
Would Text Analyzer do it?
Yes, actually, I think it would.
I've never come across that.
Yeah, I think Text Analyzer will give you color changes.
I didn't say it was where I went right now.
You didn't actually say that. No.
Yes, you know what? I still say that King should have final project. I have a question.
Yeah.
You know, when you say you have heading, but if you want to go from heading to heading, in Word, it just prints H.
Ah, yes.
There's a way. Go ahead.
You mean? Me, you?
Oh, if you hit, if you, no, you.
Me? Okay. Okay.
If you ask Jason.
So what you do in Word is you do insert or caps lock, depending how your JAWS is set up, insert Z. And what that's going to say is quick navigation on. And then when you do that, now all of your, or a lot of the commands that you're used to on the web, on websites, like H for heading and P for paragraph and all that, now turn into, so you can actually use them. So when you, if you go into a Word document, you hit insert Z, and then start hitting H. If there's headings in a document, it'll bop you between all the different headings.
It bops you in and out quite unpredictably, so you're never quite sure when it's on or off.
Well,
but it's,
yeah, so it's,
I don't know, I find it unpredictable.
If you do insert Z to turn it on, which is quick nav on, if you alt tab out of the document and then alt tab back, it will be off. So it defaults to off when you...
Is that the only reason?
Yeah, okay. It should be. Yeah.
It's different from like viewing as a web page.
Sounds
yeah.
Like
yeah, it is.
Just so that I have it clear, this is a JAWS command?
It actually, that's a JAWS command. If you are an NVDA-er, you do insert space bar to turn off browse mode. So if you, so if you're in a Word document, you can do insert space, okay, like you would on a web page if you're coming in and out of what they call browse mode. But if you do insert space, then you can hit H and move between your headings. It works.
So in Word, it's insert.
if you're using JAWS, it's insert Z.
Z. Okay, not insert space.
Right. That's NVDA.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
So there's two more areas I want to talk about. One is homonyms, and the other is using the iPhone for sending written communication. So homonyms are the biggest thorn in my everything. Because I didn't grow up as an avid Braille reader, and so I only learned like 5 years ago that there's two ways to spell wine. Like that's how... Oh, God, thank God. Is there someone else at the table who didn't know? That makes me feel so... Oh, I don't, what a dope I was? Yeah, me too. Yeah, me too.
I wouldn't put it that way.
I would. It's okay. I'll put it that way for you. So this one's a hard one because spell check is not likely going to catch it. Again, it's getting better. You saw it got which and which there. So that's progress. It is challenging. There's two tools that will help you with this. One is called WordWeb, and I don't have it configured on my computer right now, but what it does is you highlight a word, you use a keystroke, and then you tab over and it gives you the definition. It's just a quick lookup, and it's just to make sure that you've got the right iteration of the word that you want. My new favorite is Google, which is just the best thing ever. So I have Google Assistant on my phone. So I'm going to show you an example of, pardon? iPhone. But I have the Assistant now. Open Assistant.
Yes.
So it's an app called Assistant. And so, yeah, you told me that this morning.
You better have the right spelling of rain or you're going to have a really weird wrong one.
Okay, so a common problem, there's certain words that I still have trouble with, and beach is one of them. And so if I want to distinguish one from another, here, say I want to know how to write beach tree or beachfront. Those are two different things. But you can't say to Google, how do you spell beach? Because you're not going to know what you get. Google is fabulous for how do you spell eccentricity. And it just, if you have a Google Home, this is my new thing. If I'm writing and I don't know how to spell, I just talk to my Google Home and say, how do you spell this? And it tells me. And I do sort of learn slowly. But when it's something that you know is a homonym and you know you always get wrong, because I have lots, this is my new latest thing. So I'm going to demonstrate that. How do you spell beachfront?
Beachfront is spelled B-E-A-C-H-F-R-O-N-T.
How do you spell beach tree?
Beach tree is spelled B-E-E-C-H-T-R-E-E.
So all I'm trying to do is demonstrate that it's smart enough to distinguish them. If you can think of a phrase that includes the word that you want, what's another example? I don't know if anyone can think of a which.
Rain.
And there's three, actually.
There are. So if I wanted, you know, I could, you have to think a bit creatively. So I might say, how do you spell rainfall? Then I might say, how do you spell horses reins? And then I might say, how do you spell the reign of King Henry or something? And it's probably going to spell it all out. So the you have to just make it into a little bit of a sentence so that it knows the context that you want. But I haven't had it make a mistake. Google is just so.
So you think that's the word to catch the rain?
Let's try it.
Yeah, please.
How do you spell horses reins?
Horses reins is spelled H-O-R-S-E, single quote, S-R-E-I-N-S.
R-E-I-N-S.
That's wild.
Let's try this one. How do you spell the queen's reign?
The queen's reign is spelled T-H-E-Q-U-E-E-N, single quote, S-R-E-I-G-N.
Yep, it got it.
Why is it saying single quote? Because it means
apostrophe. Yeah.
Are you just using, like, you turn on Google Assistant and then does Siri?
It's not Siri. It's Siri is shit for that. Don't even try. It can spell one word for you, but don't try and ask it to go beyond. Google. So you have to load the Google Assistant app on your phone. Then you open the app and go to the, it's called microphone. And
you can actually, hey, I don't know.
Oh, can you hey Google?
Yeah, you can.
Oh, see?
Okay. Because it was using the same app, right?
Yeah, yeah, it's the exact same as having a Google Home. Yeah.
I should get that then because I sometimes
you
have
should.
Trouble with like, the free. Only thing I have problem most of the,
I have
trouble with is double.
Yeah, one at a time. Sorry, guys. It's very
good. I have a Google for goodness sake.
I don't know for sure. We'd have to check the settings on your phone. It should. The microphone's on the front, on the sort of on the bottom of your phone, by the like where the home button. It would not.
Oh yeah,
button.
Yeah. Is the microphone symbol?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Sorry, Joe. Go ahead.
I was just saying that one of the few problems I have with spelling is when you use a double letter, like, you know, canceled, canceling,
you can Siri will do it sometimes.
I don't.
Sometimes. Mm-hmm. But it's not half as good as Google. And it's the Google Assistant app is free. You just download it and then you will need to sign in with a Google account. Yeah, so you know, create one or you know, if you don't have one.
So you need a speaker.
Is that Chris is actually executing a Google search? Is that how it's doing it?
I believe so. Yeah, I think it's doing it. Yeah, remotely, like going to the internet, asking us something, and then coming back to the.
Up your phrase, probably.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. It's genius.
Can we have one conversation, please?
Sorry.
Yeah, no, the Google Home Minis are quite cheap, and they're. It's brilliant. It works really, really, really well.
It's my new best friend. For
you have a better voice than Alexa.
It does.
He's just telling me every day that I'm good, that I'm all right.
Oh, see? Yeah. Affirmation. That's what we ask. The last thing I'm going to talk about is using your phone for written communication. And I'm only going to talk about texting because it's sort of relevant for any kind of dictation that you do on the phone. So this is about dictation. Okay. I find that the dictation is quite good. It's very good at putting the proper, we're just talking about homonyms. It never makes the mistake of there and there or Y-O-U apostrophe R-E versus Y-O-U-R. It's very good at that, like surprisingly good. Mm-hmm. It will automatically put capital letters for the most part on the places where you want them, the beginning of sentences or proper nouns. Mm-hmm. And it's surprising me now on the types of proper nouns it can get. You can give it some unusual names and Yeah, it gets them. I put Gilgamesh in there.
I was surprised
where they should be.
Yeah,
it's quite good at that. What I'm going to show you now, I'm just going to do a graphical demonstration which is going to speak for itself, and it's about the importance of punctuation. So here I am in a text message. I'm about to dictate a message. Here we go. Punctuation is important. It gives us a context. It helps us to understand what the person means. Without it, we may be confused. Okay, that's pretty garbled.
I'm just gonna go. I can't hear it very well from here.
Sorry, I'm gonna. Do you want it slower?
No, louder. I can't hear it.
A little louder, if you can.
Okay. Okay, so here's what I've got so far.
Incident, prediction.
Nope.
Consent, message, text field is anything. Punctuation is important.
That hurts my head. That hurt my head. So I'm going to redo it. Watch what I'm going to do. I'm deleting the entire text. Here we go. Okay, now what? Oh, go to the delete key.
Yeah.
Tap and then hold.
No.
Double tap and hold.
Sorry, okay. I'm not the only one that didn't know that.
No,
that's
I
cool.
didn't. I would love sorry, to know how to edit with these things, with these dictations, because I just delete the whole thing and try again.
Oh, I can demonstrate that too. But I'm gonna demonstrate this first. So watch this. I'm gonna dictate again.
Message.
Punctuation is important. Period. It helps us to put things in context. Period. Without it, comma, we might become confused. Period.
Inserted punctuation is important. It helps us put things in context. Without it, we might become confused.
So, especially as a blind person, reading that, my head doesn't hurt when I listen to that. And it's so simple. So comma and period is sort of all you need, like when you're dictating. If you want to, you know, be very specific, there's other keyboards for punctuation, and you can go in and put in quotes and... colons and things like that. But one other punctuation that I do find important is if you're giving a time. Let's meet at 6:30. If you say 6:30, you're going to get 6:30. But if you say let's meet at 6:30, it says 6:30.
You know, Chris, that's a little bit inconsistent. Sometimes
is
if
it?
You say 6:30, it'll actually put the colon in.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. It does, and sometimes I've said colon, and it's actually written it out.
Oh.
Right. No, you don't want that.
No, you don't. Don't want that.
Yeah, at the beginning, like Siri was like, "Tell blah blah blah, I'm coming full stop," and like Siri, because it was said on American by default, and it was like full stop.
Oh, it says the words right.
It will recognize the
dictate function will recognize. Exclamation mark, question mark. You can say open parentheses and close parentheses. We'll insert those as well.
New line.
You just have to sort of mess
new line, yeah. Yeah. New line.
New line's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just have to learn.
You do.
It's
and it's
in England or maybe in France, you know, we call parentheses brackets.
Yeah,
it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
Well, actually, brackets and parentheses are two different symbols, and they're used for different purposes. There's also square brackets.
Oh, well, no, we call brackets parentheses. Anyway, but no, it's a different, I mean, like you say, full stop is a period, so you have to learn to say period.
Also, be really attentive to, you have to kind of learn to think about. You have to learn to anticipate errors. So, for example, I dictated a Facebook post and said I'm going to BC, and it wrote out BE/SEE.
Yes.
And so no spell check's going to catch, nothing's going to catch that except going through it line, character by character. So it depends how thorough you want to be, how much it matters to you, how much time you have, but it's a matter of being aware of what kinds of errors dictation is likely to make. Does everyone know how to go through word by word and care if you want to, if you hear a mistake?
Yeah,
I know how to go through it word by word, but I don't know how to fix it.
Yes. I'm going to be the ignorant one and say I don't know how to go through word by word.
Rotor. Okay, so I'll message, happy to demonstrate. Punctuation is important. It helps us to okay, so text field is so I'm at the end of the message. So the rotor. Do we all know what the rotor
yep.
is?
Mm-hmm.
Was that a no?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So
speaking rate. Words.
Words. So I'm at the end of the message. Therefore, I'm going to flick up, and it's going to go word by word.
Confused period. Become might.
Oh, yeah, because I was at the end of the message.
Without context period.
Okay, so say I didn't like the word context.
Context period.
So I go to the end of it. If I want to delete the whole word, I just
delete period.
Delete period. Delete, it's going backwards.
Delete X. Delete E. Delete T. Delete N. Delete O. Delete C.
So now that whole word is just gone. And so
delete space.
If I wanted to, I could just use dictate and go framework period.
Inserted framework.
So that's a way to dictate sort of or to correct on the fly. And it sometimes it's just a letter you need to get rid of, sometimes it's a whole word. If you hate the whole message.
Prediction. Message text field is editing.
I'm gonna go back to the end.
Insertion point at end.
Okay, so because a couple of people didn't know what this was, I'm gonna show it again. Find the dictate button. Act like you're going to do a double tap, but after the second tap, don't raise your finger. So it's like a tap hold.
Well, the dictate, not the delete?
Sorry, delete.
Oh,
I'm
okay.
sorry.
Okay.
I'm sorry. That was not that helpful.
No, sorry.
Okay, so instead of tap,
yeah.
tap,
yeah.
tap, hold.
Oh, tap, hold.
So I'm going to show that. So
delete.
It's going to do, but now because I'm focused on this, tap, hold. Now the whole thing's gone.
Yeah. Let me. I want to jump in.
Isn't there a clear? What isn't that what the clear touch is for?
Let me jump in real quick. So the clear text option only shows up in certain places, and it doesn't show up in text messages. So you don't have it there. Now, if you've got a super long message, like that message that Chris just deleted, isn't all that long. What you can also do if you turn the rotor to edit. And then flick down, you'll find a select all option. So you turn the rotor to edit, flick down to select all, double tap that, and then just hit the delete key once, and the whole thing goes away.
Nice.
So the message that she just deleted there, it wasn't that long, but if you had a, you know, message two or three times that long, you may not want to hold down the delete key to, you know, it might be sort of tedious to hold down the delete key to delete the whole thing.
What if you just want to fix one letter?
Yeah, just find,
same as
you find a typo. How do you get it to the place so you can delete the break letter and put it in?
Yeah, so what Chris just did, sorry, do you want
to? So you heard what I was doing with the rotor, right? I put it to words and then I was flicking back. So
yeah,
you can
heard, yes.
flick the rotor to characters
yeah.
and then it will go character by character.
But how do you insert the character? Okay, so you're right.
So you put an R in the middle of a word.
Yeah.
Do you want
me to run through an example?
So
would that be
fine?
Yeah.
The R, you delete R, and insert
message,
a key. You
find the word, and then you run character by character.
Start the timer.
Yeah, I can find the letter, but I wasn't sure how to fix it. But with the creation,
okay, so what I've written here, the message says, start the timer sooner. But say you just wanted to, you meant it to be soon. So I happen to be right at the end. So here, all I have to do is delete R and delete E. And now it says.
Message, text field is editing. Start the timer soon. Word mode, insertion point detect.
So if you wanted, say you wanted to take the R off timer, say you wanted to say start the time soon, you would have to go backwards.
Timer.
So now I'm at the beginning of the word timer. So now I'm going to flick down.
Timer.
Now I'm at the end of the word timer. I hit delete once, and the R is now gone. Does that make sense?
That part makes sense, but say you had, say you were typing a little bit too fast, and you got T-Y-I again, like sometimes you know.
So then you go by characters.
Characters.
So now I'm at the end of the word time. And I'm going to flick upwards so that I'm going backwards. So you're going to hear the E-M-I-T.
E-M-I-T.
So say I decided I didn't want the word time. I wanted the word rhyme. So I'm going to flick down. T-I. So I'm going to delete the I and the T. And now I'm going to insert. I'm just going to use the keyboard. R-H-Y. Now it's rhyme. So you just have to...
You can't do it with... Yeah, so you do it with keyboard.
Yeah, with individual letters, you need to use the keyboard.
If what you want to use is the dictate function, then you just delete the whole word.
Yeah, you can do that too.
Okay, that's all right then.
Now what some people do is, and I don't typically do it, I don't typically carry one around me with me, but I do know a fair number of people that actually carry around little Bluetooth keyboard.
I'm thinking I might be doing that.
And then you actually just hook the Bluetooth keyboard up to your phone, and then you just have a keyboard.
Yeah, I'm thinking I might be doing that.
Yeah.
I'm practicing, but my medication just messed up my hand.
Sure.
Can you talk to me before you leave?
Oh, all right.
You're in trouble.
Jason, can you repeat that thing, go to the edit, like in iPhone? Like if I didn't want to, like, double tap and hold down, what was it, go to edit?
The delete thing. If you turn the rotor to edit, so you just use the rotor, turn it to edit, and then flick down, and you'll get a few different things. But one of the things you get there is select all. If you find select all, double tap it, that'll select the whole message, and then just hit the delete button, and that'll take it all out.
And it will always be in text.
I've got another question, if it's okay.
Sure.
I have a hard time editing things going backward until I know what the mistake is. So how do you do it to go? How can you get it to go forward, starting from the beginning?
Oh yeah. So yeah.
Oh, so focus on the text field. Like, make sure you're at focus, and double tapping on the text field is a toggle. So
okay.
It will take you to the beginning, to the end, to the beginning, to the end.
No wonder it did that.
So just keep double tapping until you're where you want to be.
Thanks. Yep. I've started practicing. I've changed my typing, not my typing.
So all of those things that I just discussed about using the iPhone, I assume those all work the same if you're composing an email, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So.
What about the misspelled finding? Oh no, that doesn't work in text.
I've never used that.
It
on
actually
the iPhone.
Does. Like on the router, you
highlight that.
Yeah. Can I go? Yeah. Go ahead.
you have to go into settings and you have to change the setting on your rules, but you can go through
misspelled words.
When
you can flip right, left or right, and it's supposed to give you
suggestions.
Yeah.
I honestly haven't worked with that. I know
I
about
haven't
it.
Either.
Yeah.
I messed around with it a little bit today, and it's sometimes it said there's no replacement, and that was a mistake, but if there were a few, it did work.
Yeah,
so
it's not because
second.
It says that, remember, this is a mistake, right? So it's not because it says there's a mistake that
Yeah.
I want to ask, if you're dictating and you're saying acronym, now CNIB, for example, do you say capital C, capital N, capital I?
That's a good question.
If you
that
say
is
CNIB,
a good question.
For example, OSAP, right? OSAP. But then if you say OSAP, you'll spell it so you'll, I would say apply for OSAP, but I.
It's
completely unpredictable. My advice is, at least for the first few times that you're going to use an acronym, check it and see what it's going to do, because I don't think it's a, you're, I don't think it's
I don't
a,
think
we're
so
able to
either,
predict what it's going to do.
Now, what I have seen is it is adaptive. A couple of times, if you type in an acronym, I've actually found that after a while, it will actually start to get
absolutely
it right.
When you say it, or if you say it and correct it, same thing. You say it, it gets wrong, it's wrong, you correct it. Just do it a couple more times, correct it. It'll eventually get it.
I
keep saying CNIB hop, and every time it says snip hop.
That could be just the way it's reading it, though.
Yeah. Well, I guess, yeah.
Like, it could. It probably looks right.
It looks right, yeah.
Well,
it
may be in lowercase, I don't know. And text is obviously much more forgiving than if you're writing an email for
that's
a job
true.
Or something, right? Yeah. Sighted people are very sloppy in text,
well, that, I mean,
much
back,
more so than we are. Mm-hmm.
Going back to what you said in the beginning, that's the grammar problem.
People write text.
I think it's your key command for find and replace. What was it?
Control H.
So say Control H and then type in the word you're looking for.
Yeah, once you hit Control H, it opens a dialog, and the very first window is, what are you looking for? The second window is, what do you want to replace it with? And then it's three tabs to get to replace all, but there's various choices within that.
Just a caution on that. If you're looking to do something like what Chris was doing, like replace all of a proper name, all of the incidents that you're going to replace have to be spelled identically. So if you've made a typing error on one of those names, it won't find it and it won't autocorrect.
And that's why I do the things in the order that I do. Like my first step is always a read through so that hopefully I'll catch if I've made an inconsistency. Well, I might check it. Then the spell check just to catch any more, and then some finds and replaces, because hopefully if I need to find and replace, I wait till the end, because at least I've done my best to make sure that there's consistency before I start replacing things. So that's all the material I had to cover, but of course more questions are totally.
I do want to open up the Zoom call at some point to see if any of those guys have questions. But do we have any of the questions in the room before?
I just want to make one comment. I'd absolutely give it up on the end of dictation feature. So you used to be able to, if you put something in your dictation to a text message, you used to be able to shake your phone, and then there would be a little button thing that said undo dictation. It's totally inconsistent now. Focus.
I thought
it
was just me.
It's nasty.
Now we have things that look much, much better.
Now
Just don't shake your phone
after. Anything else for it? I'll go ahead and open up this. Oops. Sure, Tim. Yeah, just give me a quick sec. There you guys are. Does anybody have a question on the call?
Is anyone still awake?
Anyone still there? Everyone's gone.
I bored them all.
Bored them.
Oh, no, somebody's there.
Oh.
No.
Albert will be gone for sure.
Yeah, Albert's gone. Yeah. Okay. Well, this is all being recorded, and we will post this up on the website.
Ian, did you have another question?
Yeah, you know, when I do bullets, of course I do, you know, whatever the bullet. So if the next line is bullet, I just enter and then create a new bullet on the next line, which is really nice.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes some lines, just for whatever reason, just doesn't do a bullet. Anyways, I'm doing all these bullets, thinking, okay, every line is a bullet now. But when a sighted person looks at it, it says your bullet doesn't line up. Does the text analyzer actually tell you that the bullets are not lining up?
No, I do not think so.
So what you can do though is if you've got bullets that aren't, like, you mean they're indented? Are they indented?
I don't know. Like, I'm just doing my bullets happily, but then a sighted person comes and says your bullet's not lining up. So I'm thinking, okay, instead of always relying on somebody to check my,
Insert F will tell you if you're in a list. So it'll tell you, like, list level one or whatever. So that might be helpful.
Could you do list one?
I don't know if that works in bullets. I don't.
The easiest way I found to deal with that, if you're not sure, is basically highlight all your bullets and turn them all off and turn them on again. Because basically, if all your bullets are neat little sentences, it'll re-bullet everything properly.
I have another awesome pro tip too that you just reminded me of. Say either you've got formatting that you don't want, or you have formatting that's become inconsistent, or you just don't know what you've got. Select it all, go open up Notepad, plop it in, copy it again, select it, clear your original document, open up a new Word document, plop the stuff out of Notepad back into Word. And what that does, Notepad strips out all the formatting. And so if things have gotten wildly out of control, you can just reset the whole shebang just by taking it from Notepad back into Word, and you have to start over.
Yeah, it's kind of the nuclear option.
Yeah, it's nuke and pave. It's absolutely nuke and pave, but sometimes that's the best you can do, and I've done it many times.
That sounds like scorched earth editing.
Yeah,
that's exactly what it is. Thank you. That's exactly what it is.
If I want to do Amr's way, so it's Amr, I would select all five lines that's got five bullets.
Yep.
How do you remove the
So, same command that you use to create them.
Oh, right. Okay, just toggle.
Depending on how you create them and what version of Word you have.
Yeah.
Yeah. It would be a little bit different.
Yeah. Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question about having some trouble with reading PDFs. Maybe I can describe the situation.
Sure.
So, I had a bunch of people send me PDFs of their resumes recently. And with JAWS, it seems to me like there are, not in everybody's PDFs, but in, you know, a surprising number, I'll find like, it doesn't seem to be like, it seems to be missing spaces between words. Or,
okay.
Like it all runs together, so JAWS, yep. You know, really reads like that. But when my wife looks at it, on her iPad, she says, no, it looks normal to her. So is there, what causes that? Is that a song, like a weird song?
So it's, I'm just gonna say this, PDFs suck. I really, really intensely dislike them. And one of the reasons I intensely dislike them is they're unbelievably inconsistent. And,
yeah,
it's because of how they're created. So. If somebody starts with a Word document and they've got a pretty recent version of Word and they create a PDF from Word, you're probably going to be pretty okay. But if they created it from any myriad of other applications, all bets are off. It might be accessible. It might not be. You will get exactly the issue that you're describing. I've seen it many times.
This one is not being.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's a processing thing in Acrobat.
Yep, it can
if
be.
If Acrobat knows that you're using a screen reader, it'll try to reformat the PDF. And
yep.
Sometimes that'll cause the cramming that you're running into.
And also, like, those are apps specifically created for reading, so they probably have a better, I don't know.
Now, here's a couple things you can do. There is a company called, now if I'm wrong here, I'm going to get in trouble, but I don't think I am. There's a company called Accessible IT, and I think it's ACCESSIBILIT. Their whole deal is generating PDFs, like creating accessible PDFs, and how they make their money is from businesses. They at one point had a thing, and I don't know if they still do, so ask them. Where if you were an individual and you needed a PDF made accessible, they would do it for you at no charge. I don't know if they still do that, but they did at one point. So that's an option, is to send them your PDF and, I mean, email them first and see if they still do this. But they would actually convert it for you and send it back. The other thing you can do is if you've got a PDF that's just mangled and JAWS isn't reading it, you can send it through, what version of JAWS do you have?
2018.
Okay. If you do insert spacebar, then O, then D, it will send that document through an optical character recognition and you might get better results. You might not, but you might.
I was kind of wondering if maybe that was the
awesome. Well, generally, if you've got an OCR PDF, JAWS will actually say this appears to be a scanned document. Do you want to recognize it? Or if you've got an older version of JAWS, it'll just say empty document. So it just depends on what's going on. I mean, so you've got options, but I really wish I could tell you there was a magic bullet that would fix it. There isn't. But
the problem seems to be getting worse for me. Maybe 20 applications in it. Happen on maybe four or five of them.
One of those things, I think the same folks did to their presentation that I attended, that Jason had mentioned accessible IT, and I think they said 197 points that you have to check for PDF accessibility. So it's entirely possible that, you know, out of, you know, 20, 30 resumes, 4 or 5 missed 1 or 2 of those 100, whatever, 97 points or whatever.
Yeah.
I've become pretty assertive, and if I have any chance whatsoever to have any kind of dialogue with someone who's sending me documents, I just say, please don't send me a PDF.
Yeah.
Give me some other option, anything other than a PDF. And I think that's a fair request.
I did write the people back.
Yeah.
But if it's a legal document, they really want to send it to you.
No, I understand. I don't expect to have dialogue with legal people. I don't expect them to listen to me, but other people might be listening to me. So.
Maybe after she then,
you know what I mean? When you tell people, don't warn, excuse me. When you said I've asked lots of people not to send me something in PDF, and it's like, oh, they don't even know what the heck.
It's true.
About.
It's true. But
so how do you get your document back and something accessible when they don't even realize they've sent it in a PDF?
No,
I give them all. I say like a document format or .txt. Like
yeah,
I try to spell it out because some people are so
yeah.
out that they don't even know.
How
like
do that?
Said.
Yeah,
not my
some
problem.
Of them are totally.
Yeah.
Right, before we destroy the PDF world, I would just like to, before people's Wheel-Trans rides start arriving, I'd just like to take a second to thank Chris for this incredible session. Thank you. I think a big group hug is probably in order.
Wow, that's a big group.
She's going to serve a religious
I'm going to go out from my religious experience.
Okay.
Chris, that was excellent.
That's right.
Yay, thank you.
It's been incredibly helpful. And,
thank you.
Thanks. It's a big topic.
Yep.
CCB has chapters all across the country. There are about 85 chapters from St. John's in Newfoundland right into Victoria, BC.
I need
to refer
to
I don't know what the you need to contact the National Office in Ottawa and ask them to put you in touch with the local
number.
If you go to ccbtorontovisionaries.ca.
What's up, Yen?
The key command again for trying to get OCR.
insert spacebar, O-D.
O-N-D.
OCR document.
I just learned about
that. Desktop list is up.
Yeah.
Oh, well, there's two.
There's
one is historical fiction called Beltane, and the other is historical fan fiction based on the Harry Potter universe called Before the Time. So it's sort of historical fiction as well, but it's sort of set in the Harry Potter universe. Yeah, so that's my genre of choice.
Thanks for coming, everybody.
So Before the Tide is available in audio, and Beltane is not. Yeah.
Yeah.
Last movie was on Hot Seat.
So the first one
was Beltane.
Yes, it was.
Have we seen any notes on that?
We absolutely have. Have we posted them on the website? Guilty. I have not posted them on the website.
No, that's okay.
I need to do that.
I was just wondering if I missed it.
No, no.
I'm not in a hurry.
Shane actually sent me a document. He did the presentation. So I will. I will. No, no. I just. I
just wondered if I buried it.
No, no. That's my fault. I sent.
I'll make sure I send you.
Yeah, I'm going.